So as we mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash this week, one of the focal points, unfortunately, which I know is not by mistake in any shape or form, is the current fight for Har HaBayis. It was a few months ago that the UN told us that Har HaBayis has no Jewish roots, now Har Chevron. And now, of course, we're coupled with this, what appears to be this fight for actually a place the Quran doesn't mention at all, and is a place that was only established because people were not able to go to Mecca, so it doesn't have to them real Kedusha, but of course they're fighting for it for certainly another reason. So when we discuss this, I have to, you know, we have to stop for a moment and say, well, what is this whole Har HaBayis thing? This is not if you're on, can you go to Har HaBayis, although I have been shocked over the last number of months. The Rav of our shul in Israel, in Ramat Shiloh, Rabagno, went through all the sources with us. He actually started to go to Har HaBayis a number of months ago. It's certainly something that's a big taiva of mine, if you will. I can't see myself going because my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, was very, very against it. So in any case, I want to discuss what is the Kedusha level of the Kotel itself. And this week, I saw a great video of actually somebody who lives in our community in Israel who videotaped, Yishkoyach to him, because it was a, first of all, Harav Ariel, who's the head of the Machon HaMikdash Institute, was there together with a guide. And it was just a beautiful tour of Har HaBayis simply because there were no Arabs there, because you know they're protesting. And they were able to really basically do whatever they want, though they're very respectful, though they wouldn't do anything to upset the police officers. And there were a bunch of different parts, as we'll see as we go through the shiur, that they went through where they started to say, well, this, kuli alma lo pli, you have to understand, people that go up to Har HaBayis will not go to any place that is any at all questionable. Whether it's Rav Gorin's map of where you can go, they're not going to where you see the Dome of the Rock. They will not go near there. Most people believe that that is where the Evan Shasia is. So nobody will go close to there. That everybody agrees with. Obviously, this came to the forefront almost 2 weeks ago. Friday two will be 2 weeks ago when the police officers were shot and they sent Zaka in. So there was a big shiloh because they were shot mamish on a place that everybody holds as usher to go to. Besides the whole inyan of going to the mikveh first, all these different things which needs to be known. And Rav Nevensal immediately told Zaka that it would be mutter for them to go. Apparently, the word came out, and afterwards they said, Rav Nevensal said, I'm not sure I should have given that psak. I'm not sure why that is, but this is, again, Zaka. We're not talking about, obviously, emergency personnel to save people's lives. This is when they knew that they were no longer alive. What is the Kotel? So everybody, I hope, knows already that the Kotel was not built by Jewish hands. It was built by Hirdus, Herod's in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash in 19 BCE. Of course, it's become quite famous because of the fact that it is the one wall that is remaining. It's not 100% true. There are actually other walls, we'll say just in a moment. The Kotel, as you see it, I'm sure you've seen, there is some regular stones, and then there's other stones, the smaller stones. That was added later on in 644 by Umayyad era, sorry, and he added it during the Ottoman time. I'll just give you two very interesting clips. One is an article in the Jerusalem Post in May 9, 2015, where Dror Ben-Ami writes about how can we daven at the madman's wall. That's what he called it. Because Herod was known to be a tremendous madman, crazy person, a murderer. And this is what we're commemorating. How can this be our custom? Haaretz, the notably even more offensive newspaper than New York Times, in February 2006... Anshi Pfeiffer wrote, or something like that. He didn't believe that he's not. I don't think he's a firm person, but he said that this has nothing to do with the Kotel itself. Why are we diving there? Sorry, not nothing to do with the Kotel. The Kotel has nothing to do with the Kodesh has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, and don't we know already that Chazal tells the Shechina was Zaz Mizeh, it says the Machlokes, of course, between the Rambam and the Ravid, not knowing that he was doing that. Okay, so we know that it's a big talk. And furthermore, if you want to get to the real discussion that, of course, before this has come up, is, of course, the famous woman at the wall, the famous Wolfson's Arch, which now has become a place for, unfortunately, joint gatherings of men and women with Sifrei Torah. And that's, of course, been a big word. You understand, I'm sure you guys know, that when you look at the Kotel, the way we have it, so the wall extends. So that this is where we're diving at the Kotel. There's part that goes all the way down that way that just we don't daven in, but that's part of the Kotel. It's just the same Kedusha level, if you will. And then, of course, the inside part of the Kotel, which wasn't there 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, wasn't there, moved out. And that moves more until you get to that point. I'm sure you've seen it. If you go all the way into the Kotel, you see those doors. I don't know if you've ever seen them open, but those doors open. There's actually more of the Kotel there. That's so into the Muslim quarter that most people are not allowed there. Then there's the famous Kotel HaKatan, which is the famous place the chief rabbi of the Kotel at the time, or Getz, used to always go and daven. That is the Kotel HaKatan. And that's when you go through the tunnel tours. You go all the way to the end. That's the closest place that we can be to the Kodesh HaKodashim. It's a very, very special place. There's a famous story about Rav Getz, who apparently was an expert in martial arts, and he went there to daven one day, and he was attacked by two Arabs or more, and he was this old man, and they would have killed him. And he hurt them very badly with his karate expertise. I don't know. There's a famous story about that. They didn't know what they were getting involved in. In any case, in Shemos Rabbah and in Shir HaShirim, it says in both of the Midrashim, it says, Mishacharu Beis HaMikdash Nistalka Shechina L'Shamayim. That was what this gentleman was quoting from Haaretz. Shenemar Hashem B'Shamayim Hichin Kiso. The Pasuk says in Tehillim. We spoke about in Lessons from the Lev this week to try to understand that God closed the gates of Tefillah. Shaar D'Mos is always open. There is a lack of connection. This is something we actually tomorrow, Emir Tzashem, when you guys will review this with your, so we're just going to do a very small piece tomorrow just to explain to them what are we missing? What is this whole Kotel thing that we're missing? Well, this will not be for Shabbos. This is too lumdish shazach, and then you'll kill them. Rabbi Elazar says, Omar, lo zaza hashchina mitoch hachecha. That's not true, right? And then I think you guys know this machlok is between the Rambam and the Ravid about are you allowed to go to Har Bais, the Kedusha maintain or not? Amar Rav Acha then partly Olam Ein Hashchina Zaza Mikol Tamaravi. But everybody agrees, says Rav Acha, that from the Kotel Hamaravi, we don't know what that is. Doesn't define it. We call it that. God Shchina never left. Shneamar Hineza Omer Acha Kotleinu. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, the Pasuk we actually say in Kinos, that we'll be saying, unfortunately, hopefully not, but on Tuesday, that Acher Kotleinu, the Shechina, will always be at this thing called the Kotel. And that's what it says here in Shir HaShirim. He says, Omer Acher Kotleinu, Acher HaKotel HaMaravi, Shel Beit HaMikdash. So this is like a great thing that everybody always quotes, and in fact, in the Kino that we say, it's referencing the Kotel. The Kotel, as we know, the Kotel Maravi, that we know as the Western Wall, is this famous vort of, wow, you know, one thing that happens when it comes to, which is quite interesting, when we talk about the Kotel, so when you talk about Tisha B'Av, really, there is this dichotomy of it being the saddest day of the year and getting Nechama out of the day. It's a very strange dichotomy of the day. Right? Because all of a sudden we will have, well, as you guys know, all of a sudden, you know, Chatzos will come and we start sitting on chairs. And we're like, okay, it's not so bad anymore. And the lights turn on. And we start to sing at Late Zion. And that sounds pretty happy, right? A little bit. So it has this strange thing. We don't say Tachron. So that is true. And one of the points of Nechama, people say, ah, but Hashem kept the Kotel. He kept this remnants of the Beis HaMikdash. So, there's a little bit of a problem of this. I hate to burst everybody's bubble here, because this is like the thing you learn as kids. But God, right, and you hear stories about they try to destroy it, the Jordanians, and they weren't able to. But the truth is, there are actually many other walls that are up. If you ever go on one of those excavation tours, you'll see that actually the western wall is there. The southern wall is also there as well. So it sounds cool, but we know, and we'll have to understand, we know the Kotel and that piece specifically as a place that we've davened for years and years. It's not something from 1967 or 1948, something very, very, very special. So now here's the question. What is the Kotel? What is it considered? So very surprisingly, one of the first on the scene was the Radbaz. Radbaz is a very, very important Sephardi Achron for us. He was the chief rabbi of Egypt for more than 40 years. He escaped Spain in the Inquisition and came and lived in Egypt. And he says as follows. Duh. You should know. Ki adavar bar b'li safek. This is like, when you hear this, you're like, wow, okay. That shetachas ha-kippah, under the yarmulke, under the kippah, shall misgar almar, the alaksan, the mosque, right? There are two mosques, right? There's the...
There's
Oh, excuse me. I wasn't an expert, as you are. There's what? Say again.
There's Al-Aqsa.
And the what? What's it called?
Dome of the Rock.
The Dome of the Rock. So he writes that the misgar almar, everybody knows that under that it's being protected. And the Evan Shasi is in there.
Which one's that? That's the
middle of the
route, right?
Right. And that's once in a while you'll see that they actually, I've seen many times, many videos of, I'm trying to think, what was the last, I just saw a video of this a while back, of somebody who videoed going in there and saying it was so amazing last week. But how was he able to do that? It would be usher to go near there. I'm trying to think, there was a reason why. I don't know if it's because of the police or whatever it was, and they showed the inside of it. There's also, unfortunately, you probably know the famous archaeological story, not that many years ago, right? I forgot how many years it is, almost 10 years ago, that they made up this FACO thing that they needed to have another access to get to the Dome of the Rock, so they illegally, it's really hard to believe, they did this for weeks and weeks and weeks, took out tons and tons of archaeological dirt in order to build this new ramp. I don't know exactly what it was. And they just dumped it in back of where Harabayas is. And one of the reasons why they did that is that they took a lot of iniquities, a lot of things that now they found. Have you ever heard of Dig for a Day? Dig for a Day took back all of the stuff. They realized that they were doing this illegally. They were showing videos. The Israeli government, as you guys know, unfortunately, is very cautious in doing anything. As you know, now they took the metal detectors away. So the Haraya. And they're very nervous about doing anything over there. And they didn't want to make a big stink, except they took away all the stuff. And Baruch Hashem, I think somebody told me that it was suspended for a while, Dig for a Day, because they had no money left. A while back, Netanyahu actually recognized them and said, we're gonna get you funding. And they found amazing amounts of stuff. It's very hard for me to believe, because I always joke that like it's one of these things where like they want the kids to feel good, so they throw in like coins, and the kids like, oh my god, I found it. So we did this. We did the other one, the Dig for a Day in Beit Guvrim, and you always, wherever you do, whatever you dig there, you always can find. You'll find pottery. It's pretty amazing. It's not necessarily so chashuv pottery, but it's pottery from it's around the times of the Chashmonaim. You'll find it, not necessarily Jewish stuff. You always find stuff. So I felt bad. My kids were digging for such a long time, they didn't find anything. They were little kids. So I started to throw in their dirt, like quarters and things like that, whatever. And they're like, oh my God, I found them. They didn't know what a quarter was because they were born in Israel. They're like, oh, we found a quarter. What is this coin? I'm like, ooh, that coin is very special. And I told the guy, just pretend like it's something, Whatever, fine. So, yeah. Anyway, now they came to America, and like, it's so weird, the soda machines accept this quarter from the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, fine. So the idea was, then they went through and they were able to find the list. So he says the following thing. It's Barur that the Eben Shasiya is there, Hanikram Etzlam El Tzachra, I don't understand, Asher Allah Haya, Asher Alea Haya Aron Beis HaMikdash. This is where it is. Some people say it's beautiful because it's being protected. Okay, whatever it might be, and what's in there. Shekane. Where is this? Haya ben Kotel Hamaravi Shala Azara Lakota Heichal. And this, as we know it today, is where the Kotel is, which is the Azara. Which is shocking. The Radbaz says the Kotel, seemingly the Kotel that we love and know, is part of the Azara. Okay, the Azara is a place that was usher to be if you were a Zar, right? If you were a Baal Keri or a Zav. So that means that it would mean, if the Radbaz is right, the Kotel today is a place where nobody can go unless they go to the mikvah first. It's a big, big problem. So the question is, how did he say this? So you say it's a das yochid, it's one radbaz who says one thing, yishkoyach, but that's not true. So if you look, source number four is the Chaya Adam, the famous Chaya Adam, Rav Avram Dantzig, right, who lived in the late 1700s until 1826 when he passed away in Poland, Talmud of the Nodu Yehuda. So Rav in Vilna, he's a very, very wealthy, he's a very beautiful story, he's a very wealthy individual, and he showed how much even wealthy people can become Talmidei Chacham and wrote these great Svarim. So one is the Shari Tzedek. In Shar Mishpat Aretz, he writes the following. Kishiyavo samach lamakom hamikdash ad shira mikomo ad yistachava keneged makom hazara. He says the same thing again. So we move from the 1500s now to the 1800s, saying yeah, the Kotel, when you go there, you'll see that's the makom of the hazara. Mamish crazy. Then came the Ridbaz. Ridbaz is a really interesting, cool story. The Ridbaz spent the end of his life in Eretz Yisrael, but he's from, I think, 1845 to 1913. Rav Yaakov David Wolofsky, he was originally the Rav in Europe in Solsk. He wrote many Svarim on the Yerushalmi, very, very well documented, great Talmud Chacham. He wrote out very much against, for example, Rav Kook. He was so against when he had the Heter Mechira. And he was called the Chief Rabbi of Chicago. And later in his life, he moved to Sfat. What's the cool story about him? He was found out that the shechita that was being done in Chicago, there was a mafia. And they were not doing shechita appropriately. And these are one of the things that maybe happens in life. As a Rav, you have to make a decision. Now imagine you're the mashkiach in a camp, and you walk in and you see there's a basar v'chalav. And you have to be the one that puts your foot down and says, I'm sorry, everybody's not eating dinner tonight because this food is usher. 1,200 people can't eat. On the other hand, what would you say to yourself? 1,200 people now will eat something kosher. They're not eating kosher. What do you want me to do? So the Ridbaz came out and said, there's something wrong here. We got to do something. And you don't mess with the mafia. They came to his house, apparently, one Friday night and told him, tomorrow morning you'll be dead. And Friday night on Shabbos, he took his entire family and traveled out of Chicago and never looked back. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So with the Ridbaz, which is this wonderful sefer, and as I said, you can understand what kind of personality he is, he tells it like it is. So he gives the different sides of the story. He says, first of all, we know that it's not just the Ridbaz. He quotes in the name of HaRav Yehoshua Yosef Kolbo, not the Kolbo as we know it, but wrote V'hid'ore b'davar ha'makam she'anu mitpalim etzel kotel maravi, that place called the Kotel today, shel beis ha'migdash, lifnei dato asur lanu la'amod b'makam hazeh. Ki, this is source number five, hu kotel ha'azara. This is the Kotel of the Azara. V'lo kotel shel harabayis, like people say, that's what we're going to say in the end, by the way. It's a kotel of the Har Habayis. The whole Rechava on top is called Har Habayis. And we're in back of that. He says, no. And we know that this even before him. We know the Radbaz says this. I get it. They're choking. I can't give an answer. It's remarkable. He says, this is pretty strong stuff. Why would the Ratbaz say it? How could the Chayodim say it? And how could this Rav Kolbo say it? Kosherly. How can I go against the Ratbaz? And he says, furthermore, the Suffolk Isser Kares is so strong, just don't go to the Kotel. The Fi Das HaRav Yoshua Yosef Tzorech Richik La'amod, you have to go Chef Amma, 20 Amos, away from the Kotel, because then you're at the Azara. And you don't want the Suffolk Yitzhak Kares, so get out of there. The Efshu shall be Emes, Kedosh, and Vitarim, HaTzadik, and Kamoha, the great Orachayim HaKadosh, Umdu be Emes Miracho, V'lo Kamosha Umdu Machshav. He says they told over that the Orachayim, who was well documented, a Kotel goer, would only go far away. Now there is going to be, a little bit later in the program, as I like to say, there is going to be an actual interesting point, which a lot of people disagree with. There are great gedolim that don't go up to the Kotel. There's two reasons for that. One is that they don't want to put their fingers inside the Kotel, because maybe their fingers in the Kotel, now you're on Har HaBayis. Maybe. There's a Gemara, we'll see if that's really true, number one. And number two, the Kotel, the way that it's made, I'm sure you've seen this before, if you go inside the inside part of the Kotel, so you could see all the way down, right? You ever see that glass thing that everybody likes to stand on to see if it'll fall in? So that thing is actually like this. It's not straight. It's almost like this. On the bottom, it starts to go out a little bit. So it could be that if you're standing right up against the Kotel, you're actually standing on the Avonim, which is awesome, right? You're not going to get any Hanah from it. On Tisha B'Av, so a typical thing, if you're at the Kotel, you tell people you can't lean, people want to sit on the floor, you can't lean on the Kotel. You're not allowed to get Hanah from it. So, according to that, so there are people, so this is not what the Orach Chaim did. Orach Chaim apparently said, he thought, again, Ribaz said that he had the Chashash, that it was Mamish, the Kotel of the Azara, and he stayed 20 almost away. I don't know. So that's first part of what people believe. So what's the problem with this? Now turn to source number six, the next part. This is going to sound a little bit controversial. The problem is it's just wrong. It's just plainly wrong. What do I mean? Archaeologists have shown us that Har HaBayis, as the Meseches Midos clearly states, is 500 times 500. Everybody says this. The Meiri quotes this, the Rambam Beis HaBechira quotes this, it's a Mishnah that says it's 500-500. So all you have to do is 500-500. You can count if you want from the Dome of the Rock or not. It's not the Azara. Right? So it's very difficult to understand what the Radbaz, let's say he was the original source, what he was talking about. So I never knew anything about this until Mamish this week, when this person gave a tour of Ariel, the head of Makom HaMikdash, a very older man. So he said that this, he was stopping at a point and he showed a wall, said that's where they used to daven. Meaning, there was maybe another Kotel. And he didn't use the name of the Radbaz, but maybe the Radbaz actually went on to Har HaBayis, and that's what he was talking about. Maybe there was another Kotel that they used to go to, another place used to daven. That probably has to be the correct answer. Now, why the Ribaz say it, who now we're talking about in more modern times, it's hard to say. But everyone seems to say that the Kotel as we know it, the Kotel HaMaravi, the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, is the wall, the outer wall of Har HaBayis. It is true, everybody admits that Herod did do something. He extended during Bayis Sheni the Har HaBayis. He created more, it's funny to say, a guy did this, but created more of a Kedusha level because he wanted to create more space. It also was for reasons of, what do you call it, aesthetic reasons, and also to keep it standing. And everybody seems to agree with this. We'll see in a moment the Avnei Nezer, who the Sagot Shavar clearly says as the Kafto B'Ferach, the Pasal Shulchan, the Modim Azmanim, so many other sources. Rav Tupachinsky writes in his Sefer. Rav Frank writes in his Sefer. So here he says, the Avnei Nezer, the following. Somebody asks him, how can we go to the Kotel today? Can a Baal Keri really go there? So he writes, Ha'echad, im Oivichogma shall Har HaBayis Nikadesh, is there a Kedusha? The Abed in Har HaBayis Kodesh al Ged Ritzifas O Kiddush al Hatahom Kamo Azara, as the Gemara says in Zvachim. So he says, let's start. Number one, he says, don't worry about it. He said that this is Hare Ein Hatuma Yotze Min HaEtzba. He says, first of all, when you talk about the fingers going inside, Da Etzba Eino Etzem Ha'adam, Mekevan De Ein Isser. There's no Isser over here of putting your finger in the wall. Why? Because it's not considered to be Tameh. There is an Inyan of, I think it's Rav Shlomo Zalman brings the Gemara in Zvachim that we just quoted over here, that he quotes. So the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Bet, that says, Tumah Shenichnas Yadav Lifnim Lokeh. Shenamer b'chol hukdash lo yiga. Af bia b'mikzvas, shmei bia. Right? So that would mean that maybe if you put your fingers in, it's considered to be because... So Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think it's Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says, wait a minute, that's only in a case where you have, let's say, a window. Perfect example over here, a window. Right? So if I put my finger in the window, if I open the window, put my fingers in, my fingers are outside. Everybody's going to agree my fingers are outside. But now, what if there's a little hole over here? Oh, there it is. Look at this. And I put my finger in here. Is my finger outside now? So I'm like, no, my finger's not outside. Because you can't get... Okay, maybe you can't. You can't get through this wall. But when there's a situation where you have a window, you can get through, fine. But you can't get through a wall. Therefore, my finger's not outside now. And therefore, in the kotel, it's stone. So if my finger's inside, it's not on the other side because there's wall in back of it. So that's one possibility. And therefore, not only does the Sukkot Shover say that the kotel itself is clearly harabayis, right? It's this first word, tshuva, ha'echad hu oy v'choma shel harabayis. Ein hatuma yotze min etzba. It's not yotze min etzba. Ravad Yosef quotes this Avni Nezer and asks, can a nidra, a woman who's a nidra, can a balkari go to the kotel? Doesn't the Mishnah say Mefurash and Kalim in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches, harabais muktush mimenu, she'ein, right? You can't have nidos and zavim nichnas l'sham. So he says, Ulam ha'emes yoredar chosha kotel meravi shalanu eino kotel azara klal ela harabayis. He says, don't worry. It's a good question, shkoyach. You did your research about the rabbis, the ribas, right? Rav Yosef Yoshua and b'chai Adam. But we don't hold like that. And the Avni Nezer already told us this. Everybody agrees. It's funny. He uses that like what the Ritva says. It's from the Avni Nezer. Says if everybody agrees that that is the Harabayis, I'm sorry, that's the Eben Shasia, so just do 500 Amos from there. You're not even close. You're way past the Azara. You're what we call the wall of Harabayis, which does not have the same Kedusha level. Uve Emes Adavar Borer Me'od. Shemirchak shebeina kota azar lebeina Eben Shasia ain't a olo yoter shell shloshim mishona amos. He says it's just not there. The measurements aren't there, and therefore you don't have to worry as much. And our kotel is a kotel of the harabayis, and not, of course, of the azara. And he marshals also the Binyan Sion, who writes this. Binyan Sion was called the Binyan Sion, or Edlinger was called the Binyan Sion, just because his first few tshuvas speak about rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, something that, comes up. I think I told you guys this story about a guy that was interviewed. Got to be really careful when you interview. I told you my story. I was interviewed once by Kol Yisrael, and it turned out to be Kol Yisrael Aravia. So you got to be careful, because they can move your words around. So this guy was interviewed, I think it was a German news station, and he spoke about what's the Emes. It's the Emes, and nobody likes to speak about it, right? Our true belief is, yeah, we don't want the Arabs to be on Har HaBayis one day because the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, right? And we're just one of the Anshei Chinuch just was saying to me, the girl said, we want to discuss whatever we're doing normally. You know what we want to discuss? We want to discuss Mashiach. We don't understand. What's Mashiach? What does it mean? So this guy said, I'll tell you what Mashiach means. He said this on German television. It means that the Arabs have to get out of here because we're building a Beis HaMikdash on here. He says, wait, are you saying that one day you're going to kick out all the Arabs? Yes! We are. That's the truth. So how can you be, in the modern world and politically correct and say that you want to kick out the Arabs one day? That's the sky. How can you say that? So a lot of people don't want to say that. But that's the endless. So Binyan Tzion speaks about, what about Binyan Beis HaMikdash nowadays? You guys know this, right? Have you ever been to Makom HaMikdash? Makom HaMikdash, they have all these kalim. So if you ever look at their video, so the people that like to, the 60 Minutes, say, wait a minute, are you saying that you're building these kalim in order to take over Har HaBayis one day? They don't call it Har HaBayis anymore. Now they stopped already calling it Har HaBayis now. Temple Mount Snuff, So the Binyan Tzion says this already. The Binyan Tzion writes, based on what the Rabbah says, Shema Oyla, Bitzat Safon, Tzorach Lassus Me'akot, Me'aravi, he says, I don't understand, Tema Sha'arei Afilu, Tovo Yom Asar, Lachlis Lazara Sham, because he couldn't even go there if it was Ezra. It's not the Azara. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says the same thing. Sha'arei Mekubal, he writes in his Tshuvas and Hartz Tzvi, in the Chelech Yoredei, Reish Ayin Aleph, Sha'arei Mekubal Atzleinu, Mishinos Dor V'Dor, Lipal Etzel Kol Torah Ravi. Everybody knows Nida. The Ilu Haya Kota Azara, we'd all be tumah, we couldn't daven there. Abal Keri couldn't go there, Yoledas couldn't go there. It wasn't our kotel, it's a different kotel. We gotta say that. You gotta say that. And again, I would have never ever thought this until I watched this video and Rav Ariel pointed to this other kotel and said that's what they were talking about. That's where they weren't. Right? Again, you know that people go up to the kotel, they go to the mikveh first, and they're not wearing regular shoes and things like that. There's a Truman of Moshe Feinstein, source number 8 now. And you're a day ahead of Dal Tim and Samach Himmel. I mean, Rav Moshe was asked so many different questions. This definitely goes up to my top 10 chutzpahdik questions. Guy goes to the kotel. You have to understand now we're talking about, you know, not nowadays where it's Baruch Hashem so easy. I don't know when exactly the Truman was written. But let's say in this, you know, right after the 1967 war, 60s, 70s. And the guy says, I want to bring back a memento. Can I etch out a piece of the kotel and bring it with me? Oh, it's cute, right? Maybe even, you know, start a little business, right? I don't know if this is past your time. They used to sell in Israel in the souvenir shops air. It was a can, and it said the air of Israel. People bought this, right? Very cute, right? Right. And instead of buying your mud mask from the Dead Sea, made in the occupied territories, so instead of doing that, buy a piece of the kotel. It'd be pretty stark. Right, I always said, I can't imagine when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, the Mirtz Hashem, the Kor Mamish. So, if they're going to have a dedication, like they're going to say, okay, who wants to, the Mizbeach? Mizbeach, right here, $1 million, $4 million, $5 million, $6 million, you know? Like, and they have people's names on it. Like, now, at the Kotel, you have people's names on all this stuff. I don't know. But, Rav Moshe was asked this chutzpahdik question. Rav Moshe is a 20-page tshuva on this question. In Mutter Lakacha Katichat Evin HaKotel HaMervi, to remember. And the guy actually writes, I actually have it here. My wife caught me. I have a minhug. It's not a minhug. It's a written halacha that when the night of Tisha B'Av, so we're supposed to be uncomfortable when we, right? We know we don't sit on regular. So what do you do when you sleep? So there are people who are annoyed to sleep on the floor, which is a beautiful, in my opinion, minhug. I tried it last year. It's really hard to do in a cabin. You get really, really, it hurts. You get cold. So there's another minhug to sleep. You sleep with two pillows, sleep with one pillow. There's another minute to put rocks in your, right? So that's what I do. I put rocks in my pillow. So what I did was I brought a rock from Eretz Yisrael. I have this specific rock. It's a long story. But one company that I used to work for, we were giving out presents to people. So we found this woman in Yerushalayim who would take rocks from Yerushalayim and she would paint on them. Beautiful, beautiful scenes of Yerushalayim. And then it said our name of our company on the back. And it was hard to bring. And when we brought it, what did security, of course, say? And we're like, yes, actually we do. We have rocks inside. Yeah, open it, you'll see. So I took this rock. So this rock, as you look at it, it's a memento. It's from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Goldach has a minhug. When he puts the offer on the chasen, so he actually takes offer that if you go to Yeshiva HaKotel, on the bottom is a museum. So that is the place of where the Kohen Gadol lived. So apparently he found there, you can still take a little bit of ashes or something. So he says it's like mamish from, could be from the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Nebuch. So, meaning Nebuch and then in the burning of it. So Rav Moshe goes through the whole thing over here. And Rav Moshe says, Pasha denotes that the Isser Mi'ila, the Asul Ishtamish Bo, Hedjos. You can't, a regular person can't do it. Isser Chamor, the Lab below Tassin Klal. It's a horrible thing. You're getting Hana from the code. You're not allowed to do that. Shulav nitzos aval min haheichel umin hamizbeach umin haazara aval kishelokeach leezet zorach acher kishelokeach b'shul sharotzehu lezikaron af imnami hu kavana toivahu al kaponim derech hashkata kotel is aser and he's over and alive and he's chayv malchus if he does this, if this didn't hurt you enough. So she, okay, you don't want to. I don't want to sell it in a gift shop. I want it so that every morning when I wake up, I'm able to see a piece of the kotel, the base mikdashenu. Says Rav Moshe, you're crazy. You're over. It's an issa daraisa. The achon shegamarti minoni halachati bekedusha hakotel oisif. Now that I told you this whole shtickle Torah, I'd say it's 20 pages. I'm just giving you a little small part. Oisif shehu lo beinyanei al shelo gar bishalki arei ein dover ra yoser miza. I want to be very clear to you. I don't know anything worse than this. Af below in yonei yisur, even if it's not something that you do. Besides the fact, it's also you're not allowed to do it. It's against the laws of Israel. The Sitz Eliezer in source number 9, the great Rabbi Eliezer on Waldenburg. So I just want to just give you a little bit of a commercial for a moment. Look what he writes. Bechaste Hashem, bechesed Hashem aleinu v'rachamav, hagadolos achinu lichzor la'achrona ayin ba'ayin b'shuv Hashem tziyot. The Rabbanu Shalom, this is after 1967. Hey, wake up! Hashem gave us this great gift of the Kotel. When we talk about what we're missing, we also have to say what we have. You're all living in a generation that never knew not having a Kotel to be able to go to. He says, what a tremendous B'shuv Hashem tziyot. Mamish! Kicholoim hayinu gula. We're in the times of Gula. This is like almost, if I told you Rav Cook wrote this, you would say, oh yeah, Rav Cook. This is the Tzitz Eliezer, okay? He wasn't, he's got Baruch Hashem, wonderful tshuvas. He wrote about a lot about the army and halachas, he had a whole sefer on the army. But, you know, he was Haredi. Lirot, eich shemeshach yom soifim kiyom zeh, v'nofach hasher yishlut yehudim, that we have control over the, it's crazy. Shomet Vila, Shoma Vekibel Kol, God answer Shavosenu and return the base Mikdashenu. Right? Not the base of Mikdash, but the Makkum that we can now build the Mikdash. We're there. Commercial over. Now he was asked. Asura Filo Amida Al Yidea Kota Maravi Mechashash Shu'ulea Kota Hazer Hu Kota Azara Benim Shaoma Besheta Harabais. Okay. So he says, quoting the Shari Tzedek, as we quoted before, the Chayodam, that maybe it's the Azores, you have to be careful. The wall itself, touching it, again, this is a little bit problematic, because if you really believe that, then you can't be close to it. But okay, he says, and therefore, you shouldn't even touch it. If it's really the Kotel, then you have to chol it's nolav. Okay, fine. But then he writes, Omnam, benogei la Kotel al-Maravi, kfar niyamanu v'gamu sha'anu mikota. It's not, she'enu mikota al-Azara. It's not. It's not. It's a Kotel of Harabais. V'dibarti imam edos ha-Kotel Marviv v'kulam po achad anu omrim she'ein lahem shum safek ka'et. Everybody agrees. You speak to any archaeologist, speak to anybody who knows anything. Everybody knows today that this is the Har Habayis wall. It is not the Har of the Azara. Bein tzardim ha-ashnadim ha-Kotel Marviv eino lo min ha-heichal v'lo min Azara. It's min Harabais. And this is very, very important. So what about putting your fingers inside? Isn't it Shmei Bia, as I told you before? Over a chomik lefanev and a chalka b'dei atam, ma iser b'emes, la'asosos. U'mihem she'etiru, they have different rabbanim, say different things. Lefnei ha'davar, poshet, b'einai, kol ha'gonim ha'zal, she'osot la'achnis, v'chayivim karish she'nechsal v'nayifnev. V'chein pirish me'adavar. A person shouldn't do this. Chashash is a karis, don't put your fingers inside, because maybe your fingers are inside. I told you Rosh Shlomo Zalman said in Mikvah Shlomo, Chelek Gimel Kuf Samach Aleph, the window, the holes, but there are those who won't put their fingers inside the kotel. That means, I guess, you can't put a letter inside there. Finally, I'm so happy we were able to do this, I guess, so quickly. There was a tshuva that was written in Tchumim. Tchumim is that wonderful journal Zionist Journal put out every single year with the most actualized questions of the year. And in Chelech Chaf Dalet, there was a question about construction that needed to be done for safety reasons. There was a chashash, I think the article goes, if I understood it correctly, that this is some numbers of years ago now, not that many years ago, 2000 and something, 2003. People thought that they were getting attacked. As you remember, the Arabs were known to throw rocks from on top of Har HaBayis. Really, really dangerous. And people started to get hit from rocks. And the police came and everything, and they realized it wasn't the Arabs. It was the actual pieces of the Kotel that started falling. So they realized right away, they brought an engineer and realized that they had to do some work to secure that the kotel wouldn't fall, if you will, or people wouldn't get. So the chief rabbi of the kotel, you might know, is Rav Rabinowitz. He's a become very famous individual. His father is, if I'm not mistaken, an Av Beis Din in Yerushalayim. He has a tshuva called the Shari Tzion, two chalakim. I actually was going, when was this? This year, we have a custom to go every year to my son and I. We have this chus of going to Yeshiva Nativ Aryeh, davening on top, the beautiful on Hoshana Rabbah. So when we went out, I wanted to go to the kotel to daven a little bit, and then we went out. Everybody was going through the Muslim quarter, so we went through the way. I'd never been there before that way, where you go through the lishka of the chief rabbi, and there's a little shop, and they're selling a svarim, and the svarim are cheap as anything, I guess, because it's. So I went to the little. It was like a little thing, and I'm like, "Hi, 40 shekel for his tshuva saver? I'll take it." And the guy's like, "Oh shoot!" And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "I have to go get it now." So I don't know where he went, but when he came back, the sefer smells like it's 150 years old. It has like, because it's probably downstairs in like, I don't know, it's because of that, you know, it's all walls there. So anyway, so he has a tshuva saver, which we'll quote in a moment. But here, he asked different rabbanim what to do. This is very interesting. So he asked Rav Amar, the chief rabbi. He asked Rav Menashe Klein, very interesting that he would ask Rav Menashe Klein, I don't know what the relationship was. And Rav Nevenzel, the chief rabbi of the Old City. So I just give you the part that Rav Nevenzel wrote. So first he writes, why are you asking me? Do you know who I am? I'm the littlest of the littlest. How can I bring katonti that I should even give a daya? This is Rav Nevenzel generally writes. He writes, when he signs all of his letters, I actually have two written things that Rav Nevenzel wrote me from his svarim. And so he writes the smaller Levium, Shira Levium. He was thinking Levi. But he writes from the, you know, that like Menashe Klein actually used to write. He writes Menashe HaKotan. So he writes different reasons. Number one, Pshita Li, Tfei, Litikon, Hanidrash, Lishalom HaTzibor. It's partial that it should be Mutter. Mi Hanidrash, Laman HaYofi, Leni Estaiti. Ichpat Mitzvara. Laman HaYofi, Hu Tikon, HaMikdosh Atzmo. Vuhu Begeder, Hutra. So he discusses a long dish with Hutra Dechuya. But Nidrash Laman Bituach Hatzibar, whom we shouldn't be Kilch Nefesh, who began with Dechuya. So he says, if you're telling me the reason why we want to change the Kotel now is because it doesn't look nice, he was asked, right? What about once we're doing it already, can we start shaving the beard of the Kotel? You know, all that green stuff that's growing? It just will look nicer. So he says, maybe that's Hutra. There's a Heter maybe. Dechuya is what? That we had this by Shabbos. Right? When Michael Pellico comes racing down here on a Shabbos day, has he violated Shabbos? That's a Shiloh. Right? Has he done a Malacha? And we say, he did a Malacha, but he has a Heter to do the Malacha. But he did the Malacha. Or do we say, Dechuya? Right now, Michael Pellico, Shabbos doesn't exist for you. Not, he can now turn the radio on and listen and do it. No, but so he says, if it's for Pekuach Nefesh reasons, says right, this is a Machlokes in the Rishonim and the Acharonim, he says, it's Dechuya. And therefore, for sure, it's for Pekuach Nefesh. People won't die getting stones on their bodies. Number two, L'chora hu efshar l'harchik hatzibor. He goes, what are you going to say? It's not for Pekuach Nefesh reasons. Here's what you do. I got a great idea. You can build a huge netting over the kotel, and tell everybody, you know, we put a line, do not pass this line. And nothing will fall on them. Why can't you do that? Achein l'maisa mistabra sh'af kolpanim yitratzeh anoshim mirov deveikut. It's going to be very hard for people because they want to go to the kotel. But furthermore, he says, the anshei bitachon has to go there. They have to go on top. It's not going to work. And because of bitachon, because of security situation, you need to keep it open. And he marshals a Gemara from Baba Basra. Daharei ben Bava ben Betuya lahorz laharich lahechal uvlevenot ibnei. He had the heter to go ahead and build upon it. And he says, certainly number three, these are all different questions within this construction. To go ahead and plaster, if you will. I don't know what's the proper word. The little holes that are in the kotel that are now considered to be dangerous, right? So what do? They put more shpachtel, as it's called in, they call it in Hebrew, shpachtel on it. He says, that for sure, I think, ein bo iser. Again, because of all the reasons why we're doing it. Birds already there, he writes. Masha kazu benogel smicha lenis daiti nira kedivrei mar demutter. You could once you're doing this already, you can cut some of it. Masha nogel adhara. He goes, what about the people that are working? What do they need to do? So he writes, as the sefer writes, mishkos avir Yaakov kimudbani minaga olam lahakel. Right, if you want to be machmir, it would be great if all these workers can go to the mikvah first, so that they take away tumas keri. That would be really what a great idea would be. And as I said, the seer halavim, from them it's all signs, and then they say, okay, they were able to figure out, this is really interesting, some way, at the end of the tshuva, he says, I accepted all three things, and the engineer told us that if we just fix the part that's called keshet vulfsin, if we fix that, where nobody's davening anyway, it will not, we won't have to work on the kotel, which is, it's just interesting, because that, of course, became the place now, Wolfson's Arch, that they fixed, now that's where the reform want to go. Finally, the, you know, it's not just, by the way, this idea that we said before about the fingers in the kotel. So as I said, Rosh Shlomo Zalman comments on this, and he wasn't sure, but the Stipler and the Chazon Ish said you cannot do this. Rav Nevenzel, Rav Chaim Kanievsky said not to do this. I remember I was there with Rav Nevenzel and someone asked him, on Shabbos we would ask Shelus Tshuvas to him after Vasikin. So somebody asked about putting notes in the kotel. And it's interesting, Rav Nevenzel, you know, doesn't get upset. It seemed to me he got a little bit upset. I said, I don't understand why people put notes in the kotel. You're talking to the Rabbanu Shalom right now. You're talking to him. You need to put a note when he needs to read something? Just talk to him. So it's interesting that may be true. There's a story. I don't know how true the story is, but there's a famous story about the Or HaChaim. They tell a story about a guy, Nebuch, who's having tzaras in his life. And the Or HaChaim apparently gave him a note that he wrote. And he says, you put this in the kotel and all your problems will go away. Because kotel is such kedusha. And the man started walking to the kotel. It was a very windy day. And the piece of paper flies from him. And he goes around and he tries to get it. He can't get it. He says, all right, I'll go back to the Or HaChaim. And he went to his house and said, he never guessed the story, it was windy, I couldn't get it. The Or HaChaim says, okay, sorry, I can't help you now. The Rabbeinu Shalom sent that wind, no, I won't do it. So we see there was some sort of minhug to put notes in the kotel. The Or HaChaim wrote this. I don't know what to say. I mean, now it's like everybody does it, even Donald Trump, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, you know, you guys know the joke, I know. When he went to the kotel, they said, this part is actually true. The Secret Service actually takes the note out after he wrote the note because they don't want people to sell it on eBay. I don't know, they took it out. So the joke was, they took it out and they read the note. They had it on Facebook, and it said, "Dear God, you've done a great job with this wall. Can you help me with Mexico?" So, people know that everybody puts notes in the kotel. Just finally, in the Shaarei Tzion, so Rav Rabinowitz was asked, I think it's his first tshuva there, about the kotel, and he said, the greatest proof is everybody davens there. It's obviously from Har HaBayis. Ain't Tadir Gadol Mizu, he writes. But then he was asked a very interesting question I just thought just to bring up because it's Lamaisa in Yonah Diyoma on Tisha B'Av. So as you know, all of a sudden the Kotel becomes a much larger portion, right? The Rechava of the Kotel, right, is added. I just think about, you know, NTSY Kolel, they do all their singing there, it's huge, and they make the big mechitzas. A number of times during the year they extend it. So he was asked, is that considered to be the Kedusha of the shul? Right now what we say is that the kotel itself is a shul, despite the fact that it's outside and the Sifrei Torah are inside. It's a shul for all intents and purposes. It's very important. I was actually there with the great Gadol. I don't want to mention his name because maybe he doesn't want it to go into Wai Torah. And Stam, we were together, and somebody was on the phone talking. I couldn't believe it. He just went up to the guy. He goes, can you please get off the phone? You're at the kotel. What are you doing? Right? Sometimes people answer a call like, I think it's cute. Where they call, and they're like, they said, honey, I'm at the kotel now. Daven Tashem. They put the phone up to the kotel. It's cute. Okay, that, I don't know. I think that's okay. But guys, stop talking business. He's at the kotel. What are you doing? To be careful. So here, he was asked, doesn't have Kedusha. This is a really important point, because we all hang out over there in that section. We're waiting for somebody to, whatever it is, what can you do there? Right? You have to be very careful. I always say Tisha B'Av could be the worst time of the year, because a lot of people start talking. Girls and boys talk together. Mom, welcome my Mikdash. You have to be really careful. It's a very holy place. So he thinks that it's not, there's no Kedusha of a Beit Knesset there, because it's Kedusha Sarai, and there's no Kedusha when it's Kedusha Arai. And he quotes from the name of Rav Mashash, who's the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, and Rav Zolti as well, who quotes from the name of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Kufnin Dalet Aleph, who says that Rachavosh El'ir, in the Gemara in Tanis, when they used to make a big statement and say, hey, we're really in trouble now. We have no rain. Not in Camp Zohar. We have no rain. And they would go out and daven there. So that wasn't called a shul. Because he says, Rachavosh El'ir, afal pi, shemit palim sham, in Kedusha so Beit Knesset. The Ritva, the Bir Halacha, quotes this and says that that's true. Therefore he says, at the end of the day, it isn't. So, thank you very much for listening. I just wanted to point out, obviously, this is the point of why I'm doing these shiurs during the 9 days, is to think about the Kotel. Think about Beis Mikdash Sheni. Think about, on one hand, the great ability that we have to be able to go to the Kotel, which we never had for many, many years, right? We're in the 50th anniversary of that great miracle. But also look at the negative. The negative is that we don't have what's up there. And everything that's going on now, Rabbi says, is for you. The whole thing of this fight is for you to realize that they're fighting over our Makom HaMikdash. It's a remarkable thing. During the 9 days, they're fighting over the Makom HaMikdash. It's to get us to focus on it. You can't move away from it. It's on regular news in America, right? It was in this morning's cover of the Guilford Gazette. So it should be something that's on our minds, always. What is the Beis HaMikdash? What is it all about? And Amir Tzashem, with that yearning to go to that place, the Rabbanu Shalom should bring us back Mashiach Kenu b'meheirah v'yameinu.